Psalm 10. It's a right mixture of a psalm, and actually I've got two scribes who are going to come up and help me to use these boards to just write some things down, and I can only see one of them, which is not good. Oh, you're there. And Psalm 10 actually is broken because it's also linked with Psalm 9. And some commentators believe that Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 are the same psalm, and it's the acrostic. It's every first letter of the Jewish alphabet, and it goes through like that. And it's broken at a significant point for a particular reason. All right. One of our difficulties, I think, in reading the Bible is we don't often get the nuance and the sound. We get the word in the page, don't we? So when he says, "Arise, Lord," we're going to look at that and just see in the strength in which he says it. Now, I'm going to do a contrast in Psalm 10 between my first scribe, please, Mel. And we've got a description here of man the oppressor. So what I'm going to do is just read out a number of things that come out of this psalm. And Mel is she's very gifted in this. And she's going to write down all these words as quick as I say them. All right? You going to watch it? So on this one side, if you turn over, I've done some homework for you already. We have... No. Man, the oppressor. There's a list of things that are described as this man. Now, before you think, well, that's them, the wicked, I remember somebody once saying, thank you, God, they were praying, that I'm not like the Pharisee. So if you can see some indication of these characters within yourself, they may be hints as to your current spiritual state. All right, he's an oppressor. Actually, I once saw a picture called Achilles, there was just one line that really struck me, because he was like killing loads of people and a lot of people were getting killed. And he said, what a piece of work man is. Really bad. Because he's a hunter. He takes advantage of the weak. Are you ready, Mel? He plans and he premeditates evil. Devise. You don't have to write all these down. You just get some... he plans and premeditates evil, try and get that. Because then he devises schemes, he hunts down the helpless, he lies in wait. You don't have to put all them. His mouth betrays what's in his heart. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He boasts of the craving of his heart. He reviles God. He snares at all his enemies. His mouth is full of curses, lies, and threats. Not a nice character, this, is it? He's cruel and wicked. He crushes the innocent. He drags off his victims to his nest. He overcomes them with his own superior strength. He's proud and arrogant. And yet, in that, he's short-sighted and he's delusional. He speaks to himself. Start speaking to yourself. It's a good sign. He speaks to himself and he says, I will always be prosperous. No one will overtake me. I will prevail forever. I will always be happy, and nothing ever will shake me. So, in that, he totally miscalculates his own position, believing that there is no consequence at all to any of his actions. Okay, so I just want you to try and translate this a little bit, because when I first read it, and you read this character lying in wait for the innocent and the victims, I got a little bit of a picture of a highwayman, you know. And then I got a Palestinian, kind of like Jewish-Palestinian highwayman. But that doesn't really help us. So when we just think of this, this happens now. Man is still basically the same principle in nature. And so it still speaks to our condition. There are people who are crushed. There are innocents who are taken advantage of. Even if it's just somebody taking advantage of older people and all these scams around, and they leave people bereft, don't they? You can think of some others, can you? Quickly, just think of some yourself. Translate it into our modern day. I'll tell you just two that I can spring out. One is when I used to work in prison, I have to stress that, I worked in prison. One of the lads there sadly told me, he's a lovely lad, he had his family together. He'd have been in drugs, but he'd got off them. And he got his family together and his business was beginning to prosper and grow. And then some of his mates came round and they schemed and they lay in wait for him and they gave him free drugs and they peppered him with all these kind of things free until he was hooked again. And then he'd lost his business, he was back in drugs, he was in prison, all those things. They'd wrecked his life and they'd planned it so that they could get ultimately. You think of modern slavery, it's there. Sex trade, sex trafficking, human trafficking, all these things are present with us in this present life. These aren't just, and I don't know about you, but when I watch the news these days, and I know there's all kinds going on in England, but you know, there's all kinds going on in our world, which are the direct result of man acting as the oppressor. I just read one little novel, and it was talking about, is it time to finish this? It was talking about the most dangerous animal in Africa. Do you know what it is? A soldier. All right. Right, so there you go. I have other stories, but I think we'll move on. On the other side of the coin, Mel, you've done your part. Let's just give Mel a round of applause. Right, when you meet another scribe, bring your chair with you. Because if that was all that we had, if that was all that was about in the world, if there wasn't a God, then it's a very bleak period position, isn't it? So let me just quickly get over here. I'm trying not to waste time. God is the opposite of all those things. He's the liberator. He's here and come. And actually, there's a verse that says, the Lord is King. He reigns forever. And a couple of things. He's from everlasting to everlasting, all right? God can act and will act. He judges, he establishes his throne in judgment. He has established his throne in judgment. He is sat judging righteously, and he will govern the people with justice. This is our God. You know, we sing that song, this is our God. But you don't want to compare it with other gods, but this is the nature of our God. This is what he's like. This is who he is. And he does avenge. And he will bring people to account. God the liberator. God sees and acts. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. God does see trouble and grief and listens to the cry of those that are oppressed. You hear the cry of the afflicted, the psalmist said. And God can see, can take action. And actually, if you do look through Psalm 9, and I encourage you to read both these psalms together, you'll see that the psalm in 9, it's full of thanks for the things that God has actually done. You delivered me. You've done this. You've done that. You've done this. And I praise you, for you are my God and you have delivered me from all kinds of things. You're my salvation. And it's just shot through. So this psalm confirms the truth about God. You, God, are the defender of the weak. You, God, are the helper and defender of the fatherless. You, God, are the comforter. You can encourage. You can comfort those in need. You are from everlasting to everlasting. Not delusional. God actually is all those things. Right? Now, I'm just going to give you three things which I think are very hard to do. All right? That I find very hard to do. Now, the psalmist comes in the beginning and he just cries out, why then, if you are this God, why is all this oppression still going on? Why are these people suffering? Why is this? That is the big cry. If we go to any Alpha course, that's always one of the questions that come up. Why is this suffering? Why is this now? And I'm trying to get you a little bit more passion into the thing, because that's what's coming over. This isn't just a nice little polite thing. And I've got three problems, and I think you probably are a bit like me. I should imagine you're a bit like me, because we've got three problems to get over. One is, in the Psalm 9, it was all focused initially in him. Lord, please deliver me. Please deal with my enemies. Please come and deal with this. But now there's a switch, and this is a very hard switch. This is number one that's very difficult to do. He's not praying for himself. He's praying now on behalf of the oppressed. He's praying now on behalf of the fatherless. I don't know about you. We are self-centered, aren't we? And it's very difficult to pray for others persistently, consistently, all the time, and do it in a way that honours God. Who finds that hard? Rita, where's Rita? Rita said praying was a really hard discipline. How we got? We've got 5 minutes. Right. The second problem I've got is the psalmist. These words are written down, and they're written with passion. See, it's a cursing psalm, this. It's got some kind of strength to it. I mean, we all back right off it. I've come from a background which, you know, I stand in awe of God. I've got a holiness background. I'm so polite that it's not true. I'm a bit like even coming to God, you know, I'm a bit like Sergeant, is it Wilson, Captain, whatever he is, you know, in Dad's army. Would you kindly please, you know. And I've been in prayer meetings, and I've been with people who've prayed, and I've been from one side, there's been these extremes on the one side where people think they can order God around and say, God, will you do this and do it now? I command you to take charge of this and sort this out. And I think, boy, I can't go there. But I'm right over on the other side. I told them this once before, but I once prayed with this Scottish guy in church. And he had a booming voice. You know, real Scotsman he was, a Pentecostal Scotsman. And the pair of us met one time to pray. And he got up and it was, enough I bring to you. And then it was my turn. I heard the bitter. And I remember one of my friends, Harry Brown it was. Harry Brown thought, I'm not like that. I want to be more assertive. And so he went out and he bought a book on assertiveness. And he got it and he brought it home. And he was just about to read it. And the doorbell rang. A friend of his came in. And while he was making a cup of tea, the friend picked up the book. And he said, Harry, this is a good book, isn't it? Can I borrow it? To which Harry said, yes. He wasn't assertive enough. Now, what I'm going to say to you, the challenge that I've got to do is I've got to take these psalms as permission to come and put a bit more respect to God, yes, but also a bit more kind of, what's the word? But certainly not groveling, certainly not kind of, please God. It's almost as if God allows you in the Psalms a temporary, now listen to this, a temporary reversal of roles. He allows you to speak to him. Every godly man through the scriptures interceded with God at certain junctions and had the tenacity and the face to say to God, if there's only this happening, will you destroy the city? I won't. You know, so they had that kind of, and I need a bit more of that. I feel like I need to kind of push in on God a bit more on behalf of other situations. I've started to do it, and I'm not telling you that I'm anywhere near getting any, but I just know that's the direction I'm going to go in, all right? So I don't want to be over in that extreme. I'm not going to order God around. He's God, I'm just me. But there is this opportunity to learn from the Psalms how to bring a real, genuine request that has passion about it. And the third and final thing that is really equally, if you think these other two are hard to do, if you can identify with me as these are difficult, well, this third and final one is the real rub, all right? See, all these things, I mean, if you read what he's saying, break his arms, smash them, do them in. I mean, you're not going to, do you follow me? You're not going to actually do this. But he's saying that's the strength of what he feels. When I was over in TVCC, we took over, Liz and I, a little group called the Evergreens, and they just had one of their members murdered by somebody else. He'd laid wait and killed them. And I remember one of the men saying, if I could meet him, I would kill him. Do you follow? So there was like that passion. But here's this raw emotion that's got to go somewhere. And if we just suppress it, it doesn't help. But if we can learn to kind of take it into God somehow, I'm sure it would be far more fruitful. So here's the difficult thing. Learn, Jesus said, from the unjust judge. If the unjust judge will actually get off his backside and find justice for this woman, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and they get it quickly. Albeit, we've got to persist in faith. However, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?